Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf mobilized the National Guard to respond to violence and looting that broke out during protests in Philadelphia last night following the police killing of 27-year-old Walter Wallace Jr. on Monday. Wallace's family says he was in the grip of a mental health crisis. Here's his cousin Sam White talking to NBC 10 Philadelphia.
Police officers are trained to defuse and de-escalate situations, or they should be trained to defuse and de-escalate situations. There could have been something else done before you take a person's life.
And there are many who agree with that. Joining us now on Skype is Alex Vitale, a professor of sociology and coordinator of the Policing and Social Justice Project at Brooklyn College. Alex, thanks for being here.
You bet, Peter.
And Wallace's family say that his mother called for an ambulance, but it was the police that arrived first. So when you look at what happened in Philadelphia this week and you hear that cut from Wallace's cousin, what's your reaction?
Well, we have this systemic problem that goes so far beyond this one case. We know, for instance, that police in the United States, between a quarter and a half of all the people they kill are having a mental health crisis. And we've completely eviscerated any kind of community-based mental health system, left people vulnerable to having mental health crises. And then when people call for help, what they usually get is an armed police response. And too often, this just leads to these terrible outcomes.
When the police arrived on this scene, what do you think they should have done?
Well, I think they should have tried to keep their distance. We hear this narrative, well, he had a knife, and therefore we had no choice but to shoot him. But really, they could have engaged in what's called a strategic retreat. The mother was there on the scene trying to talk to him. She was not in immediate danger, and they could have waited to take action. They could have waited for the ambulance to come. They could have waited possibly for a clinical mental health response. But instead, they have this force neutralization mindset that unfortunately leads actually to the escalation of violence.
The police chief in Philadelphia has acknowledged a few important details in this case. Number one, that the officers on the scene didn't have tasers. Do you think that was a mistake? I mean, could that have helped save his life?
Perhaps it could have, although we've seen many cases where even officers with tasers have resorted to deadly violence very quickly in these situations.
Another detail the police chief revealed is that a program designed to put a mental health professional in the dispatch room when a 9/11 call comes in was still in its infancy, and it wasn't in place for this call. As the details here emerge about the police response, what kind of questions do you think that the department should have to answer?
I think the department has to answer why they feel the need to intervene in every single one of these calls. I think we have to ask a bigger question, which is why the political leadership of Philadelphia refuses to fund non-police-based mental health services and crisis response teams that other cities are rapidly implementing all across the country.
Well, Ed, there has been, as you well know, calls to defund the police or to move money into these types of programs that you refer to, non-police responses to things like mental health, drug abuse, and homelessness. I mean, is that the answer to the problem that we're facing across the country right now?
That's only one part of the answer, right? We need to change this crisis response capacity. So in Oregon, they have a pretty robust system there that's integrated into the 911 system. Last year, they went on 24,000 of these calls, and they only requested police backup in 150, less than 1%. It's now 20% of all 911 calls go to this non-police response. But also, we have to create the baseline community mental health services so that we don't have so many crisis calls in the first place. Mr. Wallace was someone who had a long history of mental health challenges. And if those challenges had been addressed more successfully, then this entire episode might never have happened.
And you referred there to a program called CAHOOTS. We've reported on that here. The fact is, though, many departments are not doing those types of training programs, and police are still often the only resource for people to call in these situations. And then when they get on the scene, it's a very complicated and tough situation for these officers to deal with. Do you have any sympathy for the situation that they find themselves in?
Look, a lot of police do not want to be in the mental health business. I actually spoke with Commissioner Outlaw not long ago about this at an event at the University of Texas Law School, and she's very sympathetic to this idea that we need to build up community-based mental health services and we need to create alternative response capacities.
And why aren't more departments doing that?
It's not up to police departments. It's up to city councils and mayors. And I think we have to ask some tough questions of them about why they're not up to this task. They continue to sort of embrace this austerity politics that says that the only way we can solve our problems is to turn it over to police. And that is really what's causing a lot of these problems.
Alex Vitale is a professor of sociology and coordinator of the Policing and Social Justice Project at Brooklyn College. Thanks for your time.
You bet.